All of a sudden, the sky is full of angels, glorifying and praising God. I'll tell you what, seems like you'd want to tell somebody about that. Much, folks. While they're finding their seat, I want to mention a couple of things. You've probably not received a Christmas card from our family, and you will, but they're still sitting on the kitchen table at home, and They'll go out in the mail, but I think they're going to be slightly late, just to let you know. If you read through your Bible, or you'd like to this year, there are some sheets in the back table that have a Bible reading plan. On this particular plan, you will read through the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once, and Psalms twice. So that's just a plan. There are many of them out there, but that's the one that we're recommending and that I will be doing this year. Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bible. We have the kids set with you, if your family is with you. We think there's some value from time to time to have the kids with you on a Sunday morning rather than send them off to junior church. I grew up in a very small church, and we didn't always have junior church, so usually you sat with your parents, and it was a memorable occasion. If I wasn't behaving, my father would reach over with a vice grip hand and grab me by the knee, and I knew that not only was I in trouble now, I was going to be in trouble when I got home. And it's just all part of the joy of growing up in church, you know? So hopefully you enjoy having your kids with you, and it's a good time. Luke chapter 2, why don't you stand with me, please, as we read about the birth of our Savior. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Our Heavenly Father, it is a joyous occasion when we remember the birth of our Savior. We celebrate it every year on December 25th. Gifts are given. Joy is shared. All the occasion that goes with the date is something that is looked forward to year-round. Lord, we'd not have church. We'd not have this conversation. We would not have all of the things that we experience in Christ if not for the virgin birth. The fact that you came, not so that man could get to you, but God came down to man. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that you did that. As we consider this story this morning, I pray that every one of us in this room have had our lives changed because of it. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The tourism sightseeing industry collected $5.2 trillion in 2023. That is people. That's not travel. That's not people going on business trips or anything like that. That number is larger. But the travel, touring, sightseeing industry, $5.2 trillion. In a depressed state, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We just can't seem to get enough. Men will look at women with the idea that they're going to be satisfied, and an angry wife looks at her husband and says, Did you get your eyes full? Did you get your eyes full? Well, Solomon would tell no. Solomon certainly tried to fill his eyes with 900 women in his life, and it is just amazing to me that one of them women didn't off him in the process, but you cannot be satisfied with seeing, though we try. It doesn't matter if it's a trip to Bangor or to Europe. Generally, we come home telling others what we saw. There's a popular TV ad. A woman has blue hair, and everybody is saying, we all see it, we all see it. Noticing that we all see certain things, but sometimes you just have to say, and someone bursts out blue because they can't hold back, they can't stop. They have to share what they have seen. When the angel spoke to the shepherds, the angel told them that they would find the baby. You'll notice in the record that we read this morning, you won't find it anywhere where the Bible commands the shepherds to go. They just know that they will. Something so spectacular has taken place here. The angel tells them how they will find the baby because the angels know these people are going to go and see. Number one, come as you are. When invited to an occasion, some common thoughts go through our minds. Now, I'm speaking as a man. Ladies, this is just how guys think, no offense. But if we get an invitation, number one, am I available on that date? Now, I'll tell you right up front, generally I'm hoping I'm not. But yeah, look at your calendar. Obviously, we're talking about occasions that our wives want us to go. So first thing my think is, how can I get out of this? How can I get out of this? How can I get out of this? But obviously, generally, so am I available on that date? Nowadays with smartphones and everything, everybody's got their calendar in their pocket. We pull it up, we look on that date, and we see if it's open. Number two, is it something I would enjoy? Maybe, maybe not. What's the dress code? Do I have to get fixed up for this, or can I come with my regular clothes on? What's the dress code? And obviously, and then finally, will I feel like I fit in? And guys, unless we're in a garage or somewhere, usually our thought is, I probably don't belong in that group of people. The invitation is to shepherds. Randy Elkhorn says of the shepherds in Christ's day, shepherds stood on the bottom rung of the social ladder. They shared the same unenviable status as a tax collector or a dung sweeper. During the time of the patriarchs, shepherding was a popular occupation. When the 12 tribes of Israel migrated to Egypt, they encountered a lifestyle foreign to them. The Egyptians were agriculturalists. As farmers, they despised shepherding because sheep and goats meant death to crops. In the course of 400 years, the Egyptians prejudiced the Israelites' attitude toward shepherding. The reference to shepherds and the work they did is all through the Bible. Of course, Christ is seen as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Come as you are. No schooling. These shepherds were not of the intelligentsia of the day. Come as you are. No status. You don't have to be anybody. And then finally, come as you are. I put no shower. Who knows? You know, there's some things you just don't want to be downwind of. And I grew up on a dairy farm or close to one, be it around the farm, and the smell of a manure pile is not anything that is. My first wife, Lori, just vowed she would never marry a farmer and just was not going to put up with that kind of. I can understand that, you know, but I don't really, the smell of a dairy barn doesn't bother me. Now, there are some odors that do. Pig farms have a particular odor that you do not want to be downwind of a pig farm. In fact, you probably shouldn't drink downstream of a pig farm either. But anyway, I digress. Come as you are. These shepherds were not people that would say, hey, let's invite the shepherds. But when God Almighty invited the shepherds, he was making the statement, there is no one that is not worthy of my Savior, of my Son. Number one, come as you are. Number two, consider what you see. We sing, while shepherds kept their watching by silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. How can you improve on what you just saw? And there's something about us that we like to talk about what we've seen. Now, not everybody does, but for instance, if you see a shooting star, Katie and I were out in a vehicle the other day, and she saw a shooting star, and I just caught it out of the corner of my eye. Did you see that? And I did. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference. You know, you see those things. Oh, wow, that was something. I shouldn't share this story, but it struck me this way. So we're on vacation in the Caribbean somewhere. I can't remember. I can't even remember how many years ago it was. But I got separated from our party, and so I was wandering on the beach. And these two women got in a fight. And I mean, they were going at each other, and they're just, it's a cat fight. It's their claw, and it's not pretty, but they're going at it. Well, sorry, you got to watch. You got to see, you know. And about that time, one of these ladies had a young child. It was a boy. He looked to be about 8. And he decided he was going to break up the fight. And he found some old dead stick that was as big as he was. It was about that big around. And he dragged that thing over to where those girls were fighting. And he just starts going into the fight. And he's swinging this thing like this. And by golly, he broke up the fight. You know, they cleared out of there. And and all of that happened so fast, you know. Well, I got back to I found our group. And I said, you wouldn't believe what I saw. That was worth reporting. You don't see something like that on vacation every time you go. Well, these shepherds had sat on that field many times, watched the stars, appreciated God's beauty, I'm sure, perhaps protected some of the animals from whatever danger they may encounter. David talked about a bear and a lion and different things. Fox, wolves, who knows? I don't know. They would have done those things. That would have been part of the job description. But on this night, something incredible happened. Angels appeared. A angel announcing a birth. Then suddenly, instantly, all of a sudden, the sky is full of angels glorifying and praising God. I'll tell you what, seems like you'd want to tell somebody about that. Seems like you'd want to share that. You couldn't share it with the guys that were there. They just saw it. They were there. Did you see that? Yeah, I saw it. Wow, did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. What are you? Holy. There would be earth shatter. I've never. Neither of you. But they did. Angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 16, and they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, a humble birth, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, said, when you go, and you will go, when you go, you're going to find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, those shepherds, from what I understand, and I've shared this before, but it bears repeating, Bethlehem was the birthplace, if you will, for the sacrificial lambs that took place in Jerusalem, just less than 6 miles away, next town over, if you will, over in Corinna, or over in Levant, next town over, it's right there in Corinth, it's right there. They were raising lambs for the sacrifices that would take place in Jerusalem. A lamb had to be perfect without blemish. Now, when a lamb is born, it gets up, and I've not witnessed this, but they struggle and they fall and they do certain things. So until a lamb starts to get its bearings, they would take that lamb and they would wrap it in swaddling clothes and they'd swaddle that lamb so it could not injure itself. Because if it injured itself, it couldn't be sacrificed. So those lambs had to be perfect. They would wrap a lamb in swaddling clothes, and they would swaddle it until it could walk on its own and not injure itself, and then they would unswaddle it as it had grown, and it would have strength enough to continue on and do what it needed to do. Swaddling a lamb is exactly what they said would happen to Jesus. They'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why would that be? Not to protect him from injury, but a sign that he was born to be a sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. Number one, it was a humble birth, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not only that, you've got to think about the quality of the story here. These are facts. This is not fiction. But if you will, it's good writing. Now, I've mentioned lately, I don't know, at Christmas season, it seems like we watch more movies than ever. And there's some very good ones. Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Carol. We've watched all those things. Then there's the Hallmark quality movie that you turn it on, there's going to be very early in the show, there's going to be a guy and a girl that seems like they don't like each other, but who knew? At the end of it, they're going to get together, and they're going to fall in love, and you couldn't, who knew? Everybody knows. It's how they wrote it. It's why we watch it, so we can sit there and say, oh, I didn't see that coming. Well, honestly, who thinks of a virgin birth? Who thinks of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, born lying in a manger, in a stable, in places where cattle would normally be? Who thinks of that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 1, God did. But until then, if you will, this is good writing. This is a captivating story. And it's not just fiction. It's fact. It's what God has done to rescue mankind. And he sent his son, born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, being interpreted, the Bible says, is God with us. You know, religion's a great thing. Religion will try to get you fixed up. Religion will try to make you better than you were. Religion will say, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And if you don't, oh my word, you're unworthy. That's religion. And religion will always make you feel less. You'll never feel right. You'll keep trying. You'll try harder. And then you'll say, are you going to heaven when you die? And your answer is, oh, I hope so. Well, that's not a relationship with Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you. It was God himself. It's religion is trying to work, 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 work to get to God. God, will you take me? Will you accept me? Help me. It'll never work in religion. There is no religion that guarantees eternal life. On the other hand, we don't practice religion, folks. We practice a relationship. This is not a religion. This is God Almighty coming down to us. Emmanuel, God with us. He said, you cannot ever be good enough to get to me. But newsflash, I'll come to you. I'll come as you are. You don't need to fix yourself up. I'm coming to you. Stay right there. Rescue is coming. I love that. It's a wonderful story of our Savior, God coming to man. The virgin-born Son of God in a stable made for animals. A humble birth, an original thought. A wonderful story. Who can I tell? Sometimes you just have to share something or you think you're going to bust. Did you see that? And obviously, the shepherds came glorifying and praising God. They wanted to tell Mary and Joseph what they had seen on the hillside. And then after they had seen it for themselves, they went back and were changed individuals with a compelling story to tell. So, number one, come as you are. Number two, consider what you've seen. And number three, folks, you're compelled to decide what you've seen. You're here this morning at the Cornerstone Baptist Church on December 22nd, 2024. If you've never chosen Christ as your personal Savior, then you are being told the facts of life this morning, that your sin has separated you from God, that there is no amount of religion or good works that will ever allow you to reach up to man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we've talked about the God-man, Jesus Christ, who came down, Emmanuel, God with us, who came down to meet you personally where you are. You don't have to get to him. He's coming to you. Rescue. And as he's rescuing you, you have to decide whether you're going to do anything about that or not. So when seeing something that impresses you or makes you think, you have basically four choices. Number one, you can keep it to yourself. Guys are good at that. We see things from time to time. Don't say anything. It's humorous that folks will come up to my wife and talk about something going on here at the church that they think she would know all about because she's married to me. And Emily, Then she comes home to me. Did you know about something? Yeah, I knew all about that. Well, you didn't tell me. No, you don't need to know everything. We don't talk about everything. The only thing she needs to concern herself with is moi. This is it, right here. She got this, you got it covered. Whatever the news is, you could choose to keep it to yourself, number one. Number two, you could refuse to believe. How many times do we see something and say, that's not right? You watch a James Bond movie, you see him doing incredible things, coming out of an aircraft, jumping back into an aircraft. Or they'd have in an airplane, they got side doors open. They're not up like this, they're open like this. Into the wind. Have you ever tried to open the airplane door when you're flying? I have. I've been in a small aircraft. If you forget to buckle your seatbelt when you're flying and it's hanging outside the plane, you take off, you get up in the air, and you hear that bell just flap, 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 and that 100-mile-an-hour wind on that side of that plane flopping that seatbelt there, that's a problem. So you decide you're going to open the door and get your seatbelt. Let me know how opening the door goes for you. Because at 100 miles an hour, that wind coming by there, you got to grab that door and you're shoving it with everything you got while you're trying to fly the plane, reaching for the seatbelt. It ain't easy. So as I'm watching some of these things go on in the aircraft on TV, and I'm watching them open the doors and looking out, and I'm thinking, this is so stupid. That ain't right. Sad to say, people will look at Jesus Christ and, how can you believe that? How could you do that? That's crazy. Oh no, that's not crazy. That's what God will do to rescue mankind. Number one, you can keep it to yourself. Number two, you can refuse to believe. Number three, you can ask for an opinion. There's nothing wrong with that. If you are truly seeking truth, you will find it. A lot of times people ask an opinion just trying to come up with a reason why they don't have to. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the things of Christ, you have to. You're either going to accept Christ and accept his payment for your sin on your account, or you're going to have to pay for your sin yourself, which will take you all eternity to do so. You won't be able to. You have to choose. You'll have to make an option. Ask for an opinion. You can talk it over. But finally, keep it to yourself. Refuse to believe. Ask for an opinion. And lastly, make your choice. I chose a long time ago that I did not want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I didn't ask Christ to save me because I knew I was a sinner. I asked Christ to save me because I knew sinners went to hell, and I didn't want to go there. Now, I've learned since then, serving Jesus Christ and living for him is so much more rewarding than the fear of going to hell. But I'll tell you what, if hell scares you and you don't want to go, then choose Christ. If heaven excites you and you'd like to go there, then choose Christ. If you've got a life that's just not going well and you need help, then choose Christ. There's so many reasons to choose Him, and there's very few not to. Fact is, there's no good reason not to. You need to make your choice. Who is He in yonder stall? At His feet the shepherds fall. 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At His feet we humbly fall. Crown Him, crown Him, Lord of all. Who is He the people bless for His words of gentleness? Who is He that stands and weeps at the grave where Lazarus sleeps? Who is He gathering throng, greet with loud triumphant song? Lo, at midnight, who is He who prays in dark Gethsemane? Who is He in yonder tree and dies in grief and agony? Who is He from the grave comes to succor, comes to save? Who is He from His throne rules through all the worlds alone? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At His feet we humbly fall. Crown Him, crown Him, Lord of all.